NIL is changing. What does this mean for Auburn?
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 43 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we're ready to rock and roll. We're going to talk about this big NIL case that was finally settled with the NCAA. Very high level. It's going to be a different type show, but I think you're going to enjoy it. Talk about what this means for Auburn, the good and the bad. Just try to unpack it and be honest about it. But before we do that, you know we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes at Active Wealth Management. Guys making moves everywhere. Got TV shows launching, already launched in Huntsville on Sundays at 10:30 on WZDX, and then 8:30 Sundays in Columbus, WXTX. Got some listeners that are already talking about, they've checked out the show. If you miss some episodes, you can go to retirementresults.com and check out all the episodes you missed. A lot of information that you can get on different strategies, what's going on in the markets, things like that, that you can try to take advantage of. Hey, and if you just want to reach out to him to get him to look at your 401k to make sure it's performing at the right, at the maximum level it possibly can be, give him a shout. Typically, you got to pay somebody about $1,500 plus to do that. Ford will do it for you absolutely free. Auburn guy, tell him I sent you. Tell him War Eagle, activewealth.com, annuity360.net. If you want to get the annuity book that he can send to you for free, or you can check out his television shows at Retirement Results. Ford's making moves. Ford wants to make moves for you. Check him out, War Eagle to Ford Stokes, Active Wealth Management. All right, so we could do multiple shows on this case. I think it's big for the landscape of college football as far as college football, college sports in general. Moving forward and paying players and what their designation as employees and things of that nature. But I want to do it very high level, okay? I don't want to break it down and get in the weeds on everything that's going on because that could bore you. But, hey, I think this is important for us to know. I think this is important for us as fans to understand from an eagle eye view of what's going on and then what this means for Auburn in the future. So I believe it was yesterday. There's been this big lawsuit between the House. It's the House versus the NCAA antitrust case, okay? And basically what it is since NIL became legal, basically, there's been a number of players that were that were playing college sports before NIL was legal that are essentially suing for back pay. You know, man, I get it. Hey, I had an opportunity to maximize my image, my name, image, and likeness when I was in college, and you guys, you know, were sort of put the rules in place to not let me do that. So there's a ton of value that I could have made, ton of wealth that I probably could have built for myself that you weren't allowing me to do it. And it was deemed that violated antitrust laws. And so the NCAA, instead of going to court, absorbing all those fees, and then more than likely losing billions of dollars, they went ahead and settled, which completely changes, I think, the landscape of college football, college sports in general, and sort of ushers in a new era of how we will view student athletes. Just to kind of give you an idea, basically what they're going to do is all the NCAA in all 32 Division I conferences are expected to pay athletes $2.8 billion in retroactive NIL pay and broadcast revenue over a 10-year period. Now, I don't know how they just went back 10 years. I mean, if you went back as far as you could possibly go, you're talking about, well, we're just going to give everybody a dollar and we're going to cancel college sports. So I don't know where that 10-year period came from, but that's what they ended up settling on. So there's going to be a lot of payments going out to these former athletes, but you know, it's kind of like the Ed O'Bannon case when you had the NCAA, you know, EA Sports NCAA game kind of going away. There was a big lawsuit, tons of players, everybody got like a couple hundred bucks. So in the grand scheme of things, are you really gaining a ton? It's hard to know, but it does sort of usher in a new era of NIL. They're expected that possibly as soon as December, players could be paid for the first time ever directly from the school. Okay, so Hugh Freeze talked about this. You know, hopefully after this ruling, within 9 to 12 months, and he said this last month, I think. So you got last month was April, so December's coming up close on 9 months as far as he kind of understood what was going to happen. I think a lot of the coaches knew what was going to happen on the front end, but in 9 to 12 months, this thing will be over, and hopefully we'll be able to move NIL in-house. And we're going to talk about what that actually means and the pros and cons for each. But if you don't know what that means, basically what that means is Auburn University, Auburn football, Auburn sports in general has to operate separately from NIL. So they have what's called a collective, and that's On to Victory. That's the hat I wear almost every single show. And any type of pay or things like that to players has to go through On to Victory, not Auburn University. So, the players go to On to Victory. That's where they negotiate their contracts and things like that, and they have their fulfillment that they have to do, whether that's autographs, appearances, things like that, to be able to stay compliant, because you can't just give a kid something that's just absorbent and then him not have to give some type of service back. It could not be related to play on the field. It had to be related to stuff outside of play on the field, which I applaud what we were doing, what Auburn was doing through On to Victory, because you're not seeing us get in lawsuits about not paying contracts. You're not seeing us being investigated by the NCAA, which seemingly every other school is for NIL issues. We did it the right way. We had it set up to where if player X is getting paid this, they had to do A, B, C, D, E, and F every month to be able to stay compliant, because there was a value for each thing that they did. And that would, you know, their name, their image, and their likeness applied to those A, B, C, D, and F things satisfied the value that they were being paid from On to Victory. So what we're hoping to do, what everybody's kind of hoping to do, is that you can sort of take that and bring it in-house, and instead of having to play this rigmarole of keeping everything separate, it all comes from one place. And that'll kind of lead into the pros and cons conversation moving forward. But that's essentially what all of this is going to mean. You're going to have a lot of NIL. You saw Texas A&M sort of preemptively was working on this. They fired a bunch of athletic department employees because they knew they were going to have to start paying players. So what does this mean? Why do you do that? Because now you are suing for back wages. What were those back wages? Well, these conferences were getting massive TV contracts, massive apparel contracts, different revenue channels that these athletic departments were having. Well, now those are in play as far as determining, you know, that a share of that could go to the players now. So you bring that in-house, and now you got this pool of, you know, a ton of money that goes towards your athletic department that now the players have, technically they have, a stake in as well. So moving forward, that's kind of like the high level deal. Okay. So first off, it was just your scholarship was what you could get paid. When the NIL thing happened, you go to collectives. You had a lot of collectives that were sort of, the ones that were doing it right were able to help raise funds and pay players, but keep you compliant and give a service from the players that was equal to the money that they were being paid. So then but that was outside of the university, loosely affiliated, but enough outside that enough outside that it didn't violate any rules. Well, now all of that's come together after this lawsuit, and I think there's some pros and some cons of each, and we're going to talk about those in just a second. But that's where we're at right now. So I think you're going to start to see collectives go away from a standpoint of like a standalone operation separate from the school. I think everything's going to come in house. I think that's sort of the plan. That's sort of the vision moving forward. It's all going to be in the same pot now moving forward. So what does that mean? All right, let's talk pros and cons. Okay, what does this mean for Auburn? Okay, Charlie Five, you told me all this. What does this mean for Auburn? Thanks for catching me up. Thanks for the history lesson. What does this mean for Auburn? How is this good? How is this bad? Tell me how this makes Auburn better. So there are some pros and there are some cons, and we're going to go through each of those. And again, these are my opinions. You could have some different opinions. You may see some of the pros as cons. This is my take on it. And then, you know, if we want to discuss, you know, have a discussion, talk about it, disagree about it, we can in the comments afterwards. So number one, I think that now one of your channels of revenue for a university is donations. You know, you got Tigers Unlimited where, you know, we fundraise for a lot of different projects for the athletic department. A lot of those, I guess mostly all of the donations to Tigers Unlimited are tax deductible. Well, the way it was set up now with On to Victory, the collectives, because you were buying essentially a service, you don't get to write off going and buying autographs. You don't get to write off going and paying for social media videos to advertise for your business. You're buying a product essentially. When you're paying On to Victory, you're buying a product. So there wasn't really any tax benefits to it. Also, there were some guidelines on some of your board members and how much they could be able to give to On to Victory or to any collective. Well, if you know, some of our board members are some of the richest men, not only in Alabama, but in, you know, the country. and you know their names, a lot of their names and things like that. And now, you know, sort of the handcuffs, or maybe not the handcuffs, but it's just a little bit easier to be able for them to just give directly to Auburn University, Tigers Unlimited, things of that nature. And they get the benefit of the tax deduction. And then obviously that frees up the ability to then pay, pay the players who are now technically employees, things of that nature. So I think that's a huge pro to be able to bring it in-house, and you don't have to play this game anymore of trying to keep money separate. You know, it just goes into one pot. It helps you. You don't have to, if it goes in the same place, you don't necessarily have to have that many people monitoring it, I guess, because you got two separate entities. Now you just have one. So all the money goes into the same, all the money's going to go into the same pot now. And with the tax deduction part of it, I think that it's going to entice people to be able to possibly give more now. I get to be on those. I could possibly show up on those talent societies and those, you know, War Eagle societies and all those things that show up on the, in the program and on the big screen during the football games and things of that nature. You know, there's people that like that. There's people that, you know, that means a lot to them. And I think it does. It gives you the ability to recognize those folks a little bit more publicly and reward them for the money that they've given. So I think that's big. I think that tax deductions, bringing it in-house, things of that nature are going to be huge, a huge pro for Auburn. Because I think there's a lot of wealthy Auburn alumni. I mean, there really is, that give a lot to Auburn in general, but maybe were either turned off by On to Victory or not On to Victory in general, but turned off by the collective thing, or I'm just going to give my money to Auburn. And now that's fine. Now a portion of that can go to the athletes. So I think that's big. Kind of stop playing this song and dance of putting the money in this bucket, putting the money in this bucket. It can all kind of go to one place, make it a little bit more streamlined. another pro, and you heard Hugh talk about this, because players will now technically be considered some type of employee. I don't think they're going to be able to ever, I don't think they're ever going to be like full employees, because there's a lot of other ramifications that come along with that. But because they're going to technically be a version of an employee of the university, there could possibly, that could open the door to enforceable contracts. So right now, the players have all the leverage. They have absolute, I mean, the coaches have zero leverage. I can come and go when I want to. There's nothing that says I have to play a game. I can hold out at any point in time. I can do whatever I want to do. There's nothing that's sort of, I have no like rules. You know, I just going to get paid and I have all the leverage, and then I can get paid and then I can leave. You know, I can do whatever I want to do. I have all the leverage as a player. What this may be able to do is give the opportunity, since you're technically an employee, have some binding contracts, you know, 1 year contracts, 2 year contracts that say, you know, the things that contracts say. You know, how nice would it be able to bring in a freshman class and there's a couple of players that you know are going to be really, really good players, but they may have to sit a year, you know, because there's a senior backup or something like that, or there's a guy that's 2 years in, that's got 2 years in front of them and then may not be really ready until their third year of college. How nice would it be to be able to know that you could lock those guys in for 2 years? You know, you could do a 2 year binding contract to where we can develop you for 2 years and then you're going to be able to start your junior year. Now, you got to be careful with that, because, you know, there's going to be times where kids miss, or you miss on an evaluation. So there's a con to that pro, but ultimately it's going to give the coaches a little bit. I think it's going to be able to give the coaches, and I can just tell by the tone of Hugh Freeze talking about it, that I think this is going to give coaches a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more ability to control or manage their roster. And it makes guys like Will Redmond that Auburn have right now, this off the field player personnel management deal, just so invaluable. So invaluable. So I think this could usher in an era that helps us be able to control this fire hose right now of NIL. Give them a little bit more teeth into you know, what the players have to do as technically employees moving forward. If they're going to be paid from Auburn University, you got to execute A through Z on your contract. You know what this also could mean? Bowl holdouts. You know, a lot of kids right now, if you don't make the playoffs, you're going to hold out the bowl games. That could be something that is put into the contract, that, hey, if you're going to come to Auburn, you're going to sign this contract, you're going to perform in every single game. You know, you're going to go out there and you're going to perform, barring injury. If that means if we're playing in the, you know, the Duke Mayo Bowl or if we're in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. You're going to play the whole season. So, again, that helps. You know, bowl games, it seems like bowl games are just getting more and more useless. But at least now you know that you possibly have the opportunity to put a good product on the field and not have to go play a bunch of walk-ons or things like that. Make it worth your fans traveling to go see their favorite players, their you know, go see the team that they, you know, came to see. And you know, that could be a huge pro for fans in general. So roster management, things of that nature, I think that you're going to have the ability to make those a lot easier. This is sort of an ancillary pro, but I think the decision to go with Nike is going to be massive, because I think apparel revenue is going to be much higher with Nike than it was with Under Armour. Under Armour kind of ran its course. Okay. I get there's some ideological things that some people have hangups with Nike about, but by and large, Nike is just vastly more appealing as a product to the masses than Under Armour. So you're talking about shoes, you're talking about, you know, your shirts, your hats, everything. Typically people want to have that Nike swoosh on their body somewhere. And especially when you got a campus full of kids, I think apparel in general is going to be one of the drivers of, you know, this revenue share. And if you, now that you have one of the top revenue share companies as your apparel company, that's going to help. And Nike's going to be, you know, incentivized to be able to, Nike's going to be incentivized to be able to put out some really good stuff as well, because they're going to want to take, you know, they know that we're going to have, we want more apparel sales now to be able to be competitive in that revenue share to pay our players. So they're going to want to be able to continue to put out good stuff for us to buy, because if that's, you know, that brings a problem. If the apparel thing is an issue as far as sales goes, we got big problems. So I think that strategic partnership at the right time, I think that's probably a little bit of foresight. You probably took less money up front than what Under Armour was willing to pay to extend the contract, because you saw that there could be an ability here once this ruling goes down. Apparel is going to be a huge part of the, you know, a huge part of the revenue stream moving forward. So, hey, let's go ahead and strike this thing now and get ready to go. And you notice it kicks in 2025, and you could start being paying players, you know, based off this case and what they're talking about. You could be paying players from the university as soon as December. There's actually a college, Dartmouth, I believe, has already, they just basically said, we're going to pay the players directly, and if y'all want to come at us, we'll sue you, basically. So there's already precedent here of this going on. I think some of the bigger conferences are kind of waiting, so you can at least have some sort of structure to it, but they're going to be coming in-house soon. So I think there's some really good pros that could come from this that could really help Auburn. But with pros, there absolutely is going to be some negatives as well. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. I'll get your thoughts on those. But before we do, we got to give a shout out to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code button to get 10% off every single order for the rest of your life, for the rest of as long as plainscoffee.com is operational. Use coupon code button, take 10% off literally any kind of coffee you can dream of. They got it. And if you're not a coffee person, they got teas too. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. Show them some love and tell them I sent you. All right, so negatives. Y'all know me. I don't like to really talk about negatives in general, but I do think there are some negatives that could come from this. And I got to be careful how I go with this first one, because I don't want to be canceled. But I'm just going to be honest. There could be an issue with Title IX and non-revenue sports. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Okay, first of all, I think every single athlete at Auburn deserves the opportunity, based off this ruling, to be able to earn a portion of whatever their sport generates. So women's gymnastics sells out tickets. They kill it. I think they should be able to earn a portion of whatever, you know, women's gymnastics or whatever these sports can generate, things of that nature. Okay, but you got to understand, Auburn University is going to be now sort of on the hook for paying all these different sports. So with that being said, there's a lot of sports that not only don't make money, they lose a ton of money. Okay. So I think that because now every single sport is going to have the potential to earn, okay, they're going to have a potential to earn a portion of what their sport generates. And honestly, we're not even 1,000% sure that it's going to be sport by sport. We hope it's going to be sport by sport. But if it's not sport by sport, if they have to earn a portion of everything, I think there could be a potential that you could see some sports that you love to watch get cut from Auburn as far as scholarship sports. I think that's definitely on the table. You could see things like, you know, from the guy's side, maybe you lose your tennis team. You know, maybe you lose your golf team. You know, there could be some of these sports that, you know, just don't really drive a ton of revenue, those could essentially be cut, not be scholarship, university funded sports anymore. They just basically become club sports. Now, there could still be, you know, there could still be a, you know, a ruling body over those, like a conference for those, so that there may still be some value in TV rights and things like that, where you may still get to see those sports. But you could see sports like that. You could see a sport like equestrian. You could see a sport like, I don't know, women's soccer, stuff like that. The Olympic sports, you know, the track and field and things like that. Maybe those, there could be a possibility that those sports either A, get cut from being, you know, cut completely from being part of the Auburn Athletic Administration umbrella of sports, and may have to become club sports. We don't really know. But with Title IX and the good part of it, the negative part of it is that universities are going to have to make some tough decisions. If they want to be able to compete at the highest level in the big revenue generating sports, they may have to cut costs in areas that lose. They just may have to. So that sport that loses millions of dollars a year just so you can, you know, have that Title IX, you know, I guess equal on both sides. You may start seeing some sports on both sides be cut to be able to get to where those funds can go back towards the revenue generating sports. If you want to be able to compete at the highest level, if you want to be able to compete at the highest level in basketball, in gymnastics, in football, in women's basketball, if you want to be able to baseball, softball, if you want to be able to compete at the highest level in those sports, you may have to sacrifice at others now that players are technically going to be considered employees. So that could be a negative that comes of this. And I don't think that's very far-fetched. I think that's honestly, I got to be careful how I say this, but I think honestly that would be smart business. That's tough, but under this new umbrella, that may just be the reality. And how those affect those sports, and if they become club sports and things like that, what does that mean? I have no idea. The NCAA could go completely away from the revenue generating sports, and the NCAA may end up governing the non-revenue generating sports. Who knows? But I do think there could be the possibility that some sports could be cut that a lot of people enjoy watching. So that could be definitely a con. Will this create a black market again? Okay. What do I mean by that? All right. So we try to pretend that players have never been paid before, and then all of a sudden they're paid again. And when NIL came open, essentially all it did was bring the money out of the dark and into the light, so to speak. So a lot of these teams, I think the coaches that knew they had a competitive advantage, your Nick Sabans, your Kirby Smarts, you know, I'm gonna try to change that. Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. I had someone tell me that it bothers them that I say it like there's more than one person. Like when I say the Nick Sabans of the world, the Kirby Smarts of the world, people that are rational understand what I'm saying. The top level coaches that got it like they like it, and there are more than just Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, but Nick Saban specifically, Kirby Smart specifically, they had a model where they had the ability to pay kids under the table. I'm just going to say it. That let's not act like it's not true. Pay kids under the table, and they had it organized better than anybody in the country. And there's a couple of other coaches that did the same. And Auburn, I felt like always probably had the desire to do that, but just didn't really have the organization. And NIL sort of takes away that competitive advantage. Okay. NIL took away the underneath the table money and brought it above the table. So you saw a lot of those coaches, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, really sound off about how NIL is awful and it's changing the game. Well, of course, it's changing the game because now you don't have the competitive advantage you had before. it also increased the amount that those schools had to pay kids. You know, if it's under the table, you can't just pay a kid $1 million under the table. They can't hide that. But you could probably get away with hiding $150,000, $100,000, things like that through different ways. That's a lot easier. So when NIL came along, they're used to paying their five stars, you know, this amount. And now that amount is like millions of dollars a lot sometimes, like over, you know, a couple of years. So not only did it change the competitive advantage, but it also upped the ticket price to get some of these kids. So does this new form, though, if it's a revenue sharing model, and the only way you can do this legally is through a certain percentage that they come up with that you can pay each player, if that's sort of the cap of what they can make, does that bring back the black market? Is Auburn A, willing to do that, or B, is there a network in place to be able to do that, essentially? Because we know these other schools have those in place. They may be more excited about this than we think, because, you know, if their ticket prices come down a little bit as far as how much it costs to pay one of these players, we know we've got this network that we can just go dip into to help these kids out, pay these kids, entice these kids. And we have the system to be able to keep it under the table. So does this bring back the black market? I think there is a potential that it could. And I don't know that Auburn is – I'm not going to say Auburn's never paid kids. I know I'm 1,000% sure we have under the table. But I don't – do you have that network to be able to compete? Because there's some schools that just really want it more, it seems like, and they've got the networks and things like that to be able to protect themselves. So could it bring back the black market? I think absolutely it could. And at least as of now, I'm not 1,000% sure that that's a – I think it's a con for Auburn at this point in time. So, but who knows? It could be a pro. We'll see how that goes. The last thing that I think could be negative, and I got to be careful how I say this too, because I'm pretty much pro player in this whole thing. I like the idea that kids can now be able to be paid for their services, even outside of their scholarships, be able to, you know, maximize a lot. You got to think, what percentage of these kids actually go to the NFL? What percentage of these kids actually go play professional football and get to their second contract and make the kind of money that they think they're going to make? Very few, very, very few. For a lot of these kids, the maximum value they will have, some of them in their whole life, because of the money that's being thrown around right now, is the 4 years to 5 years that they're in college. That's when, you know, college fans are typically more personal, more passionate a lot of times than NFL fans, and they'd be more willing to, you know, it's technically not a business yet. So there's that personal connection. They're willing to, you know, they want to see the kids, take care of the kids while they're at school. So a lot of times the maximum value that a player has is while he's on campus. So I like that they're now able to maximize as much as they can on campus, because the NFL is not a guarantee. You know what else is not a guarantee? Life in general. A good job is not a guarantee. A job that pays them as much as they make in college is not a guarantee. So I like the fact that they can be able to maximize, but because now that they'll technically be employees, this is what you're seeing at Dartmouth. They already started a player union. So unions, which, you know, we could do a pro and con on unions, but the negatives for the fans that come for player unionization, collective bargaining, lockouts. Like, what if there's a lockout? What if there's a college football lockout, and the players just decide for whatever year they're not gonna play? Like, we just don't have college football for a year. That'd be tough. And I think at least at some level, that possibly could be on the table now that players are, you know, technically considered a version of an employee. I don't know how good that is for college sports. So it's from a, definitely from a fan perspective. Now, you can say that's selfish. You can say that's whatever. But, I mean, the way they get this money, the way they get this money is from the fans. The fans watch the television that is part of the TV deals, that is part of the ad sales for those TV deals that make the TV companies money and make the universities money. Okay? The fans are the ones that buy the tickets. The fans are the ones that donate. The fans are the ones that buy the revenue. So if you're locking out, you know, even if you're, I get it, you're looking for your self-interest, you're going after, you know, protecting your self-interest, I'm all for that, but it's going to be, that could possibly be a huge negative for the fans. So you got to weigh it out. You know, some of the things that we talked about today may be bigger deals than others. Some of them, you know, I threw out there as it could happen based off of the setup that may not. They may come up with something that would remedy it. But I do think there's some really good things that could come of this. And then I do think there's some bad things as well that could come of this that could possibly negatively influence Auburn. Now, I think as it stands, I think this would be a net positive. I think it would be a net positive right now for Auburn. Just from listening to the way that Hugh Freeze talks, and we're already sort of prepared for NIL to move in-house. We've already kind of got that network worked out to where we've been foreshadowing. So we have a system in place. We feel like that we're going to be ready to go once this switch is flipped. And I think being able to have a little bit more control over your roster, being able to have a little bit more all of it, all the money in one pot, I think ultimately makes it a huge pro for Auburn and a lot more manageable for Hugh Freeze and Will Redmond. So I say that now. It could change in December, but I think as it sits currently, I think this is a good thing moving forward. I have no idea what's going to happen with the NCAA, and does the NCAA still even exist after this? And you know, what does college football, what do college sports look like if there is no NCAA? I have no idea. So there's still a little bit of uncertainty, but at least we got a little bit of a clear road of where we're going. And I think as of right now, I think it's a good thing for at least for Auburn and for college sports in general to get out of this purgatory area that we're in where it's a wild, wild west. There's no rules. I think we can at least reel this thing back in now and have some sort of structure. And I think it's something that, you know, there could be some fun opportunities for a little bit more fun opportunities for, you know, for fans and things like that moving forward as well, as far as access to the players and things of that nature. So let me know what you think. I can't wait to see how this thing evolves over the next several weeks and how fast things move. If it's December's not very far away, not very far away at all. It's only, you know, 6 months or so away. So, Auburn seems to be on the ball and ready for this. So if it is that quick, I think we'll be ready for it. So let me know what you think. Subscribe to this show, subscribe to this channel, like this video, and tell me what you think in the comments. Do you think this is good for Auburn? Do you think this is bad for Auburn? Do you hate it in general? Do you love it? Just let's talk about it. I pretty much comment back on every single thing that's put out there. Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. And we can interact there as well. DMs, tweets, whatever. We'll get after it. So I really appreciate you guys listening. No visits over this weekend, so probably not going to be a lot of fireworks this weekend. But next week is when it really kicks up for recruiting, and we're going to keep you in the loop on it. Building up to Big Cat Weekend, which already has some dynamite visitors already committed, and those are going to continue to grow. So, again, guys, I really appreciate it. All the activity and everything around, you know, you guys listening has made this a lot of fun. So hopefully we'll keep it going. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll chat back on Tuesday. This is episode 43 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.